This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome back, everybody, to another fantastic episode of the Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast. I am one of your hosts this week, Professor Chris G., and on the other line with me is my good old pal that I know he would not go walking in the winter with me. It's good old Dougie Fresh. Dougie, my man, how you doing?
It's too cold out there. There's too much ice. There's just too much that I need to be worried about. I'm shooting to get back out there this week, but we'll see how that goes. But other than that, I'm doing pretty good.
That's good, man. That's good. And also joining us this week, he is making his return to the podcast. It's good old Carl Dutton. Carl, how are you doing? Welcome back.
Not bad, not bad. Third season of the Power Rangers show means I get to be on a third episode here.
Well, there you go. There you go. Every time you start a new season, you got to come back on.
Yeah, that's the rules. Yeah.
Hopefully, we can get you on for more. But yeah,
absolutely.
Absolutely. Now, thank you for coming back. And if you guys have not heard any of the previous episodes with Carl Dutton, what are you doing? Those are very good episodes dating all the way back. I believe the first one that you were on was the Kangaskhan episode, all the way back during the pandemic. And we're all the way here a couple of years later. It's crazy.
Yeah, when you said that we were going to be doing an episode and you link me to it of what's currently airing in Japan before it's being dubbed, I was like, wait, you've somehow covered all of Pokemon? Holy crap. Like, because you were in the original series and suddenly you're like, you've covered it all? Oh wow.
Yeah.
Yes, you see, we haven't slept in 3 years.
Yeah, yeah. We just...
But
although I'll say this, watching this episode, I know it's because what they're going for is this whole reunion thing, because it's I'm gonna use the American names because I don't know them as the Japanese name, but this is Ash's last season.
Yes.
And so they're clearly getting the band back together and getting the original team back together. But because of that, this was like, holy crap. Other than the Pokemon, this show is exact. Like, the last episode I watched for you guys was 20 years earlier, and it is the exact same episode. Like, the same characters, the same plot. Team Rocket is still after Pikachu. It's been, what, 23 years? And they're still doing the same thing?
Yes, and Ash hasn't aged a day. He's still, apparently, unless they do something on the last 11th episode to say that he is now 12 or whatnot, he is still 10 years old in this anime.
Yeah, literally... Other than Ash's clothes and the Pokemon, this could have been an episode from the show that we watched 2 years ago.
Yes. And he's still the same. I mean, thankfully, they're showing that he is maturing a little bit. He's still his little quirky self, does things on a whim. But actually, I can have a discussion with you guys real quick, because something I was watching on YouTube came across as pretty interesting when I was watching it. But this one guy that I was listening to, I wish I had his name so I can give him credit. But he was talking about how all of the professors in the Pokemon series are named after trees. Like, they're a type of tree, like Professor Oak, Professor Birch, and he just went through all of them. He's like, could Ash at some point be a professor with his love of Pokemon, because he's basically, I mean, he could be an Ash tree.
Ash. Yeah. Well, yeah, an Ash is a type of tree. And also, it would also go along with the idea that Professor Oak is busy giving his mum wood. So
now yes. I won't sit here.
You know it's happening, Doug. You know it's happening. You refuse to see it. It is that is happening. You saw the look on Mr. Mime's face in the last episode.
Yeah.
So, Carl, so in the last episode, episode 2 of the 11 episode series, Professor Oak came and drove up to Ash's mom's house, and Mr. Mime was out there just sweeping away some of the dust on the outside. But as soon as Professor Oak came up, he had the biggest smug on his face the entire time that he was talking to Mrs. Ketchum. And I was like, oh, Mr. Mime has heard some things or has seen some things and just does not like this Professor Oak.
Well, I mean, it is Mr. Mime, who is pretty much a registered sex offender himself.
Yeah.
I mean, look at him. But yeah, I mean, I know you guys haven't watched the episodes for the last, you know, in between seasons, between the Kanto seasons of this. But has it ever been explained, like, where Ash's dad is? Ever?
No. So the latest that we've heard anything spoken about Ash's dad was in the last Pokemon movie that was just dubbed over. I think it came out in May of last year. And he mentioned that his dad had given him some like props and stuff as he was growing up and has taught him a lot of life lesson stuff. But that's the only thing that we have heard. We still no other mention of his father in the actual series. No, nothing. So
I'm absolutely in headcanon mode that Professor Oak is in fact his dad. Like, there's an illegitimate something going on there.
I mean, you think that? I personally grew up thinking Giovanni was until more recent and watching
Giovanni,
other episodes.
Wow, yeah. I mean, he does have the black hair. That's true.
Yes. So I thought Giovanni. And then there's also that big rumor of the big war that was going on in Pokemon, and all the men left off to this war, and his dad just never came back. So
that's where I'm leaning. I'm in camp Poke War. Which would be a hell of a movie if they ever...
Well, like guy warriors riding in on Charizards. And...
Yeah! Big old Machamps just slugging it out.
We need that movie. We need that movie.
Like Game of Thrones, but with Pokemon, yeah.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Game of Balls. maybe not Game of Balls.
Game of... Doug.
That's what Professor Oak plays every night.
There you go.
but yeah, so I was explaining to you, Carl, like off air, the reason that we kind of stopped what we're doing to kind of cover this. And like I said, we chose to kind of come this route because Ash is finally leaving the series. They're replacing Ash with two new characters come as of April, I think, is when those characters start up. April or May. And I was like, oh, this will be a nice little send off. And me and Doug are currently working with something in the background as well. And hopefully everything turns out, knock on wood right now. And I'm going to do that we'll have a nice little surprise for everybody towards the very end of this. And yeah, this is a big send off. We finally have an end point for Ash Ketchum. And
what's his name in Japan? I heard everybody else's name, but what's his name in Japan?
Satoshi.
So the whole tree thing is just an American thing then, that they invented for the games, I guess.
Yes. So, yeah. But all the professors are have a tree name, and this guy on YouTube was just going off and just saying, yeah, Ash could be the next professor because he could be an ash tree. And I was like,
so wow. Again, that has to match with the footage, which, you know, as a person who covers Power Rangers for my own Patreon show, you're limited by the Japanese footage sometimes. It's like, that's a really good story idea, but if the Japanese haven't filmed it, we can't do it.
Exactly. And it's funny because even with Power Rangers, you run into the, because we ran into it with the original Pokemon anime, the reuse of different camera angles and different things that they did in Japan when they were dubbing it over here in English for Power Rangers. How often do you see the same clip over and over again?
Well, every time they morph, every time they summon the Megazord, every time the Dragon Zord turns evil, which is about every five episodes, that chimney stack candy cane, that gets mushed. Every time they reinstall that chimney cap candy cane, let's not paint it like a candy cane this time, guys, because that dragon is going to come and munch it. Oh, no, there we go again. Yeah, they like reusing that footage. And it gets even worse in season two, which is remarkable. When they start filming their own footage. But yeah, every time they summon the Zords, Mastodon, Lion, Thunderzord power, every single time, and it comes out. And yeah, they that is how they make their show and pad their show out. But yeah. Literally, just because we've just hit in the Patreon rewatch, we've just hit Zoo 2 footage, which is where they went back to Toei, and said, can you film new footage of the Zoo Ranger suits and the Zords for us that will just be just for Power Rangers? So we've hit that point. Somehow it took them 10 episodes to bring the Green Ranger back, which is amazing. But yeah, we've hit that point. And they filmed new Zord footage, new Zomini footage, new Megazord transformation footage where they skip the tank mode. And it's nice to see that because it's like after 50 episodes of seeing the same transformation five times an episode, it's like, oh, thank God, something new.
Yeah, I heard a backstory, and I'm not sure how true it is, but Tommy was supposed to come in as just the evil Green Ranger, but they got bombarded by so much fan mail to bring Tommy back that's the reason Tommy came back into the series. And then the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, they ended up going off to a different season in Japan. It is Japan, right? Yeah, Japan. And that Mighty Morphin stayed here in the U.S. and they had to basically film just regular things just to come over here to the United States because they were out of footage because they weren't filming Mighty Morphin anymore.
So the footage that they use is from a show called Kōrai Sentai Zoo Ranger, which is the Super Sentai of 92, which they then used up until the Doomsday two-parter. That's what they used.
Okay.
But then they got to episode 40 and they used all that footage and they went, well, these suits are selling like gangbusters, are selling all these toys. So they rang up the production company of Sentai, who at that point were making Gozai Sentai Dai Ranger, which was the show where the Thunder Zords and the White Ranger came from. They were busy filming that and they said, can you film new footage with your production? We will pay for you to film new footage with those old suits and those old swords and send us just the fight footage and we will dub it over. And that was the second half of season one. The last 20 episodes of season one and a good portion of season two was that. Oh. But then in season two, they started subbing in the new Zords, which were from the current Sentai that they were then filming. So they had the White Ranger and the Zords were from the later Sentai, but they still had the suits from the old one, which was in footage that they had filmed just for them. And eventually they ran out of that and started filming their own footage of the suits, because of course the White Ranger was never in the same footage as the other suits, because he was from a completely different show. It's very convoluted how they did backflip for that.
That is fascinating. That is very confused. I mean, I follow it, but I'm like, man, that is very confusing translation-wise.
Would be like if Pokemon, the second season, they replaced Ash and Pikachu, but because Ash and Pikachu were so popular, they asked the animation studio to make new episodes with Ash and Pikachu. That's basically what happened with Power Rangers.
Okay.
And that's the reason we eventually went to Zio, was the production staff were like, oh my God, can we just adapt the Sentai again, please? Like, we're spending so much money filming our own show at this point.
I thought that was a weird way that they went over to doing the whole Pokemon, Power Rangers Zeo. I thought that was such a weird transformation.
And well, that's because the Alien Rangers were the Sentai from where the Ninja Zords came from. And the reason they did that was so they could use the footage of the ninja suits. The Alien Rangers were the Kaku Rangers who were in the Sentai that sword came from. And that's why they did it, because they were sick of filming their own footage with the old Zoo Ranger suits.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's a whole convoluted thing. We could be here for hours talking about that production, honestly.
Oh, man. I would love to talk Power Rangers with you guys. But all right. Everybody, you did click on this episode, and I do have the name right here. So this week, we are going over episode 1226, titled Takashi and Dent and the Forest Witch. And for people that don't know, or you kind of just follow the English version, Takashi is Brock, and Dent is Silen. So this translated in English would be Brock and Silen and the Forest Witch is what it would be translated in English. Still no date for an English translation. They're not even done. Let's see, what was the last episode in English that they dropped? Let's see, they have Training Battle of Flames. So wow, they haven't even started the tournament yet. So the next episode is the start of the tournament that Ash ended up winning. So it looks like we'll be getting that fairly soon. And hopefully they don't chop that up into a two-parter, which they probably will, knowing Pokemon. But yeah, today we are bringing back Silen and Brock into this week's episode. And this episode is going to be starring the wonderful Hattery from season, I'm going to say this is from season 21. There you go. Season 21 is where this Pokemon came to be. So Hatterene is the nice little evil forest witch Pokemon that we are going to be going over. Are you guys ready to start going over the episode?
Yeah,
I mean, talking overall about the production this season, you can clearly see, as I said, the vibe is getting the band back together.
Yes.
And like, this is supposed to be a celebration of Ash's time throughout the show. And you can tell by that, just by the credits, because the credits are, wow, suddenly we're in 4x3 and there's footage from the 1997 show.
Yes. It's funny because, and you're going to see it, and I'm sure you've already seen it when you are watching it, but the theme song is the original theme song. So I'm really hoping
Do you think they'll do that for this show? Do you think they'll get the, or they'll do like a cover of it or something?
Yes. So that, I mean, it's different footage, but that is the original theme song, the original artist from Japan, in the theme song intro to this show.
Is it a re-recorded version?
It's not. It doesn't seem like it's re-recorded. It looks like it's the original, but they ended up tying in all the different seasons of Pokemon in the montage as you're watching it. So
the footage in the opening and closing credits, yes. I recognize footage from the original season and the original opening in there quite a bit. Like, yes. they very clearly had to do some stretching effects for the 4x3 several times. But yeah, it would be really cool when they dub this into English, if they do use the Gotta Catch 'Em All song and do like a cover version of it or something, or just use the original, why not?
If they don't, I don't know what they're doing. I mean, they already did it in the Japanese version. They need to bring Jason Page back to the English version to do the Gotta Catch 'Em All and just do that song.
I mean, they literally sung it in the live action movie, so
right.
Yeah, the one that everybody knows.
So
I guess that brings up the question, do they have a version of that song that would be long enough to cover the expanded credits if they bring over the expanded credits?
Like, I'm sure there's a version with a couple more verses. Oh, there always is.
Oh, are you talking about Jason Page's version, Doug?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that song, what we hear on the TV is only a snippet. So that is an actual, I think, 2.5-3 minute song.
Yeah.
That
I was going to say, to go back to
Power Rangers, it's the same thing. Like, all you hear on the show is go, go, power. But in the original, the whole song is like, it's got a verse and a chorus. And you hear some of it later in later seasons with the no one's going to ever take them down. But that whole bit, it's the same thing for every TV show. They make a full song and then they cut it down to about a minute for the credits.
Because they're going to need it, because I'm looking at, you know, the three episodes that we've watched, obviously, including this one that we're about to review, you know, you get into a practice. Like, I watched the credits on the first episode because it's like I wanted to see what they did. But I noticed they didn't vary it up. So I'm just hitting skip and I'm going, this is going a while.
Yeah, they played the whole song. Jeez. But.
Well, it's a celebration, right?
It is.
Well, and they've got to fill 20 minutes or whatever.
So I thought it would have been cool. And I mean, obviously, I mean, they're doing 11 episodes. There's 24 seasons of Pokemon. So obviously they couldn't do every single theme song. But I thought it would have been cool to maybe start the episode with one, end it with another. And I guess
like a montage, like a melody.
Yeah, just going through every single theme song that they've ever had in Pokemon, because I know at the end of this episode they did the nice thing with Brock. They brought back Brock's music video song, but it's sung in Japanese, so I'm sure it's going to be translated into English because they do have an English version of it, and that was nice to see that they finally switched that up. But then I watched the episode that they just dropped this past week, well, that just came out yesterday, and they're back to the same one that they did in the first two. So I was like, oh, what are you doing, Pokemon? So
it's interesting because Misty and Brock turn up here and they're in their original costumes.
Yes.
But obviously Ash's costume has changed. Team Rocket still look exactly the same, which I've got to bring up when we get to Team Rocket. Like, have they recently come back? Because they were just a thing in like the original game, right? So they for the last 20 years, have they still been doing the same plot every episode of trying to capture Pikachu? Or is this just a nostalgia thing?
They have. So they've been in every single season of Pokemon all the way up until now. But they did take a break in the last season when Ash was doing the championships and he was going through that whole thing. Team Rocket did not. They started up a social media a social media account, and they got a decent amount of followers, and they were live streaming Ash's accomplishments as he was going through the tournament. And they said, oh, we're not going to bother Ash and Pikachu until they're done, because we need Pikachu to win this battle because he'll be worth so much more to the boss if he wins. So they stood in the background and cheered him on as Ash was going through his accomplishments, which was pretty cool.
Strange, considering, like, they were brought into the original anime as, obviously, because they were the villain group of the original game. But there's a different one for every game. And it's so weird that, you know, today's kids would play the game and go, who the hell are Team Rocket? Like, but they still continue to be in their very episode. And they still are after Pikachu 20 years later.
Yes, they've gone through the realm of having a whole lot of debt. They got kicked out of Team Rocket. They had to get back into Team Rocket. They had to clear up a lot of their debts and all that, and then they were put on a secret mission thing, which is what we're covering in Black and White. And it sucks because we never got to see those episodes, because I guess during that time there was a really bad earthquake or something in Japan, and kind of had similar things happen in the episodes that they were making for Pokemon. So since it was such a big disaster out there, they scrapped the three-part episode, the badass episode of Pokemon, and just said, no, we're not gonna show this because of the disaster out here in Japan. So those episodes never aired at all. And
very surprising to me that they have not evolved and moved on as characters in this. I know it's a cartoon, but it's you would think with this being kind of a wrap up of his story that they'd be trying to wrap up their story too, and they'd have, like, in most shows they would have turned to being good guys by now.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, they kind of are good guys, even though they still try to capture Pikachu. But it, I don't know. I have a feeling that we're not going to be saying goodbye to Team Rocket. And I think that Team Rocket will end up finding something in these new two new kids that are going to be starting the series. And I think Team Rocket will just end up leaving Ash alone and going over, or they actually get, this is my assumption. I think they capture Pikachu, they get it back to the boss in one of these last episodes, and Giovanni is just like, what do I want this Pikachu for? And just their face would just drop to the floor. Like
there's been so many other Pokemon since then.
I created Mewtwo and you're bringing me a Pikachu? Oh man, I would love to see that scene. Doug, what do you think?
I mean that would be the emphasis for Team Rocket's face turn, in my opinion, because in their mind they would be justified in saying, we've been breaking our backs for you for years and we finally accomplish it and you basically sweep us under the rug. But then Giovanni can turn back around and say, I never specifically said I wanted that Pikachu, and even if I did, you didn't give it to me in a timely manner, and like you said, I've created Mewtwo, you know, or five or six generations down the line at this point.
Like, yep. I'd be surprised if like Team Rocket even still exists. Like, it'd be funny if these guys were like, they still think it exists, so they're still doing this mission, but they go back and, like, Giovanni's turned straight and everything's bad, like, everybody's disbanded, and there's no Team Rocket for them to go back to.
Yeah, and there's no more expense reports, and they have to now make their own money. It's just, that would be funny. That
just a bunch
of, or it ends like the real mob and they just get a shot in the back of the head.
Warning, there is something in this episode that is not suitable for kids. Viewer discretion is advised. So, all right.
Oh boy.
I do have the episode up. I'm getting ready to hit the play button. All right, and we start this week with Ash, Pikachu, and Misty walking into, it looks like just a random town, and Ash's stomach just starts gurgling, and he's like, oh man, I'm hungry. And Misty is like, yeah, we should find a place to have some lunch or something. And Ash just looks horrible. He anytime this boy is hungry or anything, he can't do anything. He is just worthless. And so is Pikachu. I mean, him and Pikachu are just tied at the hip. And they just find this shop and they're like, ah, perfect. So they go and they sit down at this nice little shop. Pikachu has its own pet bowl. And Misty and Ash both have like finger sandwiches with some orange juice. And they're just eating. They're like, ah, time to eat. So they just start eating. They're like, man, this is good. And then Ash is like, you know what? I feel like I've had this before. Missy's like, yeah, you know what? I was just thinking the same thing. And as this is all going on, and I'm just realizing this now, looking at Pikachu, Pikachu scarfed down his whole bowl in like 30 seconds, guys. Pikachu.
No portion control at all.
No, not at all. Pikachu is completely full and is just leaning back in Ash's arms. And Ash is like, you know what? This is really tasty, as the waiter comes back over. And she's like, oh, well, thank you. Manager, they want to give their compliments. And out from the back, we have a familiar face, and it's Brock. Brock comes in. They're like, Brock? And Brock's like, oh, what? Ash? Misty? Pikachu just jumps over on Brock's shoulder. And he's like, oh, it's been a while, Pikachu. And Misty just grabs Brock and just goes, Brock, what are you doing here? He's like, hey, I just got hired as a cafe manager here. And Misty's like, this kind of confused me too, because Misty's like, well, I thought you wanted to be a Pokemon doctor. And Brock just comes up. He's like, I have decided that I intend to devote my life to helping that lady over there, the head of this restaurant. And of course, just as things come for Brock, and just as his luck is, the odor comes right over to Brock and goes, "Hey, look, my darling who left to study cooking says he's coming back to the cafe." She holds up her phone. It is a very good looking dude on the cell phone, and she holds it up and she's like, "And when he said when he comes back that we're going to get married, isn't that great?" And Brock is just like, yeah, "You're welcome." And his face just goes white. He's like, "You have a fiance, you're about to get married. Wait, what is going on here?" And from there, we jump straight into the title sequence, the theme song for this episode. And then I'll go ahead and fast forward it from here. But from here,
a lot of skips. Too many crickets.
It's a minute and a half. That is a long theme song. But, all right, Carl, right after we get the name of the episode, you want to go over the next part of the scene that we're about to get?
Yeah, sure. So Takeshi, otherwise known as Brock, he's got no color. He's been drawn with no color because obviously he is depressed about this woman who is leaving him, and they're trying to cheer him up. Brock still hasn't had the eye operation to fix his eyes, apparently. he's also not been colored in. So they're trying to console him about this whole thing. And then, of course, their other companion with green hair, known as Dent in this, is also around, very coincidentally. And so we get a recap as to how they met, and how he was a companion that traveled with Ash for a while. Misty introduces herself as one of the gym leaders from the Cerulean gym, obviously. And he says, "Yeah, I've heard of you. You've got all these pretty sisters, and then you're the other one, right?" to which, of course, she does not take it very well at all. She gets the giant head mode mod turned on. She yells at him. Ash tries to make Peacemaker. And it's all star sort of thing. It's like the best companions of Ash coming together for this final season. They're just kind of introducing each other, and he's explaining what he does. As apparently Psyduck can come out by himself still. Yes. Misty still hasn't got that thing under control.
None of her Pokemon. We found out in the last episode, all of her Pokemon just come out of their Pokeball whenever they want to.
Yeah, so she has absolutely no discipline over Psyduck or Koduck, as it is termed here. And then Dent just starts going around saying he's doing a taste test, which I'm not sure if he's trying to measure him up to cook him. Like, yes. I know you can eat duck, but like, I don't think you want to eat a Psyduck. All right.
So not
this Psyduck anyway.
So Dent, in the English, his English name is Silent, as our audience might know. So that is his name in Japanese. His name is Dent, and he is a Pokemon connoisseur. So he goes around and he finds the best food. He's like another version of Brock, but he's just a little bit more defined and a little bit more sophisticated, and he makes food puns, as you've seen in this episode, as part of his just everyday speech.
But it's a bit weirder when it's like a duck Pokemon, because it's like, no, he's actually going to kill any sentient creature. That's pretty freaking weird.
Right, yeah. That's the first time we've come across something. Like, he's never been so graphic in the black and white episodes we've covered. Like, this is the first time he's looked a Psyduck in the eye, or any, you know, edible Pokemon, I suppose, and said, "I'm going to cook you, and I'm going to make a spicy glaze."
I'm surprised Misty didn't look at him and was just like, "Yo, you're not cooking my Psyduck." I like.
Well, her other Pokemon's an egg, so she's apparently just got this theme going on. Also, Team Rocket are there, and they're still after Pikachu. Good for you. That's never going to happen. As they go into the forest, they're trying to cheer Brock up. They take him to this pretty like woods area where there's just nice lots of flowers, but unfortunately for them, there's other stuff there as well.
Yes. And Doug, you want to go over this next part of the scene?
Right, so we do find out that Silent and Ash are somewhat acquainted with each other. He said they ran into each other, I believe, in the Johto region.
Yes.
And you know, Silent can kind of get the vibe from Brock that he's like emitting a negative aura, which, you know, is signified by glowing purple. It's an aura. I mean,
he has a negative reaction aura.
Stink lines, but you know, I mean, you know, and Ash is just like, or not, Brock's like, you know, don't get into it. You know, the poor guy's just sitting under a stairwell, and I mean, he's really in his own head. And then, like you said, they take him out in this open field with plenty of flowers, and it looks like a computer screensaver, and Pikachu and Misty are jumping around, and Silens literally dragging Brock by both of his wrists, and you know, Brock kind of looks around and he's like, it's beautiful. It reminds me of beautiful lady. Or he goes, it's beautiful. Beauty reminds me of ladies. So, I mean, he's just
all over
hopeless and hopeless and horny and just.
Well, it's funny because like they bring up that, oh, Brock, you left to be a Pokemon doctor. That was like your whole thing. So the implication is he was doing that because he wanted to get with Nurse Joy. And now because he wants to get this other woman, now he wants to be a chef.
Yes.
So Brock has no morals. He has no scruples. He will go any way the wind blows. Any woman that looks at him funny. He will completely change tact. He will change careers.
The episode, you know, where he turns into a cop for Officer Jenny, that would be a good episode.
You know, and I think it's...
I'm shocked we never got that, now that you said that out loud.
And I believe, maybe when we speak with Mikey he'll have a little bit more insight. But I believe there's a season of Pokemon where Brock actually gets a girlfriend. And then something ends up happening and they just don't end up together anymore. But it would have been really nice, unless they're going to do something towards the end when Brock comes back, and maybe they do a quick flash forward and they're older or something like that, because it would have been nice to finally see Brock finally get his woman. Just,
well, it's the curse of the big reset button. You know what I mean? Like, this show, like we've said, Ash has been perpetually 10 years old for 20 years. As a result, none of the characters can evolve. It's the Simpsons problem. It's the Family Guy problem. Like, we always have to reset to the status quo.
Yep. And Brock needs to find someone. He needs to be finally a family man, unless he's just going to be the one in his family that just never ends up happy. And I feel kind of weird. I feel very weird if this is the last time we're seeing Brock in the Pokemon series, because we know that Brock's brother has taken over the Pewter City Gym at this point.
Oh, so, I don't know if it'll be the last time, because like the implication is he's traveling with Ash again at the end. Like the original three are back together. That's that kind of how it ends.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he's going to be in the show from now on. Also, I'm only now just picking up the euphemism that Brock is the horny one and his most known Pokemon is a giant rock snake.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't even think of that. Well, James Victory Bell was a sucking Pokemon, and Jesse's Lickitung was a licking Pokemon. I'm not going to say anything past that, but put all your eggs in a hat and then just crack it. And
when it goes to bed, they have to have some fun.
Yes. So
wait a minute. I'm not letting you go on that. I want you to explain yourself. What's going to happen to all your eggs when you put it in a hat and crack it?
It's going to ooze all over you. Uh-huh.
Never heard that one before.
I know. Make it a thing. It's all good. So. Doug, do you want to finish your scene with Hatterene as she is introduced in this episode?
Yeah, so we get our first glimpse of Hatterene as Brock is continuously punched in the gut by this woman that apparently he had not had a single conversation with, because he was, in the brief interaction they had at the cafe, he was under the impression that he was like,
he was in.
He was in there. He was the guy. And she was like, oh, thanks for being a placeholder. My husband's coming home. Or my soon to be fiance.
I kind of saw it as he's the nice guy friend who's like, oh yeah, I'm really supportive of you with your boyfriend troubles, but really I want to get with you. Like, I think it's that thing.
Well, if that's the case, it's Brock's fault for not speaking up, because apparently they've known each other for, and he'd been there for a while. So, I mean, apparently
they just the worst part is that they just like, she's just like, oh, I don't need you anymore. You're fired. Like, he loses his job because of the other guys. That's worse.
Yeah, all we were missing was the scene of her literally kicking him out of the restaurant and saying, away with you. So yeah, we see Hatterene, and she's kind of like, oh, I could use this. So she uses her tentacle. She focuses her energy on Brock, and Brock starts to have a mirage where the girl's like, I've changed my mind. I'm in love with you after all. And she's, you know, she's beckoning him over, and Brock just in the real world, Brock just takes off running towards the dark forest, and everybody's like, where's he going? And Misty's like, we should probably go follow him. So she takes off first, and they're all kind of running after him. And Silen's the first one to recognize Hatterene. And Hatterene's like, oh, can't be having that. So she uses another energy blast, and she freezes the three as well as Pikachu. And then, for some reason or another, Psyduck
I think uses that's a psychic attack is what she ended up using on them.
Well, I'm sure it is, but I'm just saying an energy, because it's not identified, as she uses, you know, sleep or paralysis or whatever. But the thing that kind of frustrated me was, so they're frozen, but Ash has enough wherewithal to pull up Dexter. I mean, I understand it's a little thing, but it was still kind of like, well, so he wasn't frozen.
That's when you get exposition.
Well, this is also true.
So we need it, and we find out through Dexter or the new Pokédex that Hatterene is a silent Pokemon. It's also a psychic fairy type Pokemon. And it says it emits psychic power strong enough to cause headaches as a deterrent to its approach. So that is what it did to Misty, Silen, and Ash and Pikachu. So they're just frozen there. They're like, oh my God, my head hurts. This hurts. And Brock is still going after the mirage that he thinks is Miss Kathy, which is, I'm sure she'll have a different English name when it's translated. But Brock is like, Mrs. Kathy, Miss Kathy. And she's like, Brock, this way, come quick in the mirage. And we just see Hatterene just vanishing into the forest. And Brock is just all sorts of, he's like, oh man, this is so awesome. And he's running into all the little mushrooms that are found in the Galar region. So I'm guessing that they are in the Galar region, because that's the only spot where these mushrooms that glow are found, at least to my knowledge. And so Misty calls Psyduck back into its Pokeball. The psychic attack has worn off, and then we get Team Rocket, and Team Rocket is just looking at them, and they're like, they all nod in agreement, and they're like, all right, let's go get that Pikachu. And they just start chasing after our trio here, as Brock is nowhere to be seen. They're just looking around. They're like, man, where could he have gone? And Misty's like, why did Brock just start following that Pokemon in the first place? And Ash is like, that's a riddle. And of course, hearing the word riddle, here comes Silen, who is a Pokemon connoisseur, but on his side gig, likes to pretend that he is a detective. And he has his magnifying glass, he puts on his nice brown hat, and he's like, if there's a riddle to solve as a mystery sommelier, I'm guessing a mystery connoisseur. I can't pronounce that word. Detective. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sherlock, he becomes Sherlock Holmes. He has the magnifying glass with the brown hat. That's exactly what he does.
He's yeah. Sherlock Silent, exactly.
Sherlock Silent. I like that. I'm going to use that. And he's like, leave it to me. I will solve this riddle. And Misty is like, oh, this guy is starting to become very annoying. And Silas is like, the world has no riddle that cannot be solved and no cork that can't be popped. And he's like, it's detective time. And Misty's like, oh, this guy is such a pain. And from here, we find out that Hatterene can read the emotions of creatures that are up to 50 kilometers away. And that is what it has done to Brock. And now Brock thinks that it is seeing something that it's not. So let's see. Carl, do you want to go over this next part of the scene?
Sure. So, Rule 34 Pokemon, otherwise known as Satarine. Yeah, Jesus Christ, this Pokemon could not be drawn any more feminine with the weird bloody thing of being a seductress, like, oh my god, Japan. So, yeah. But apparently there's this whole thing where it's like it's psychically imprinted on her. So now that because Brock was angry and despair, that's like the emotion that she is now displaying. But they come across the pre-evolution of Satarine, I guess, which I don't know what the English name is for. Do you know that one?
Yes, I have it right here. So that is Hatena.
Okay. So Hatena is, they basically come across that. And it sort of helps them. It's like it wants to rescue its older sister or something, and it will help them defeat her because she's gone bad or something like that. So they basically say, can you help us find our friend? And she agrees. I don't know what Satarine's whole thing is, like the end game here. Is she gonna kill Brock? Is she gonna like suck his life force or something, or has it just gone crazy because of Brock's emotions, which is kind of what's implied. But again, I'm sure this episode will have some awful internet fan fiction written about it because the internet is a terrible place. So they basically use the little version to find the bigger one with his tail. And we see that Brock is meanwhile being continually dragged in by the mirage of this woman who he's in love with for this week. And she's using some sort of technique where she keeps putting him down to keep him keen, treat me, keep keen, I guess, as she's doing something to the forest, some sort of psychic attack, which then makes the little version find out where they are. And they then run and they find Brock with Satarine.
Yes, and it's funny. See, Hatterene is, I mean, I'm sorry, not Hatterene. Yeah, Hatterene. No, Hatterene. I was right.
Hey, you're right. I was saying it with an S for some reason, but yeah. They come across, it's middle evolution here. I missed that bit, but yeah.
Yeah, but Hatterene was just looking at him. So she feeds off of the negative emotions of Brock. So in order for her to keep getting stronger, that's the reason she's putting him down. So she's having Kathy in his head go, I love you. I hate you. I love you. I hate you. And every time she says, I hate you, Brock is like, oh, no. Oh, you love me again. Oh, no. You love me again.
You know, that can't be good for the boner. That just can't.
It's just so stupid. And like to the point, the characters are like, what's going on? What could possibly be happening? Meanwhile, he's running off into the forest going, Kathy, Kathy, Kathy. Oh, I wonder what's happening.
I wonder.
So, but yeah, as you said, Carl, Hatterene did some type of psychic attack on the entire forest, and we had a big purple cloud go across the forest at this point. Doug, do you want to go over the next part of this scene?
Oh, with the guiding of Hatena, they, in the pursuit of Brock, they come across the mid-evolution, which would be Hadaram?
Yeah, Hadaram. Yes.
And right. And Misty's like, oh, it looks like a stuffed toy. And Silen can't even get away with it in the Japanese translation. Silen says she has quite a cute taste to her, which I don't like the way that sounds at all.
I'm starting to think that Silen, when he left Ash, got a taste of Pokemon. Like,
we're not playing into that.
What meat are they eating in this world if it's not Pokemon?
Exactly. I mean, I think Silen has gotten a taste of different types of Pokemon, and at this point, it's just like, man, I wonder what this Pokemon will taste like. I wonder what this one will taste like. I mean, I'm sure they won't make
like,
it
when
as...
They have when they have a beef burger, it's definitely a Moo Milk, right?
Oh, I hope so.
No, I haven't seen a Doduo in a while.
they make Dugtrios back into a Doduo so it'll evolve. Unlimited head.
You know, it's like when you have the bird within a bird within a bird. It's that, but you know, all on the same bird.
Well, what was the Pokemon last week where its claw would continuously
Clauncher.
Grow back?
Clauncher.
Yeah.
So last week, so they've really made it a point, and I'm sure they're going to clean it up here in America, which will probably suck. But last week, Carl, they had this Pokemon called Clauncher. It was a crab like Pokemon, and Team Rocket was starving so much that they said, "Okay, we're going to get this Clauncher." Because if as long as we cut off its hands, the hands will grow back. It will be unlimited crab Pokemon for us. So they were just trying to get this Clauncher, and obviously they failed. But they wanted to eat this Clauncher, and this is the second episode of this 11-episode series where now they want to eat Psyduck, and now they want to eat this Hatchram. It's very weird, and I'm going to be very interested once they translate this over into English, if they keep any of these lines in the Pokemon series.
I'll make it some sort of weird advertisement for veganism.
Yeah. they'll get PETA to come after them. You can't be talking about it. It's a cartoon. So, all right.
Cartoon, we're not even sure they're animals.
So Doug, go ahead and we have the Pokédex entry for Hatchram.
So we find out that Hatchram is a serene Pokemon. It's a psychic type, and it's the evolved form of Hitana. And Ash leans down and says probably one of the dumbest things he's ever said, and says, "Ah, that's why she looks like you." Like, no shit. And we find out that it uses the braids on its head to pummel into silence anyone with strong emotions, no matter who they are. So it will make you be quiet. And the last little bit on this entry says, they're strong enough to one punch KO a pro boxer. So
wow,
I don't know what relevance that has into anything other than, hey, that's just a fun line we can throw in there. And everybody reacts, you know, Ash and Silent and Misty, they're like, oh my god, and
this is bad for everybody.
They're looking around going, did somebody have strong emotions? Meanwhile, you know, they had a fourth guy that just ran off into the woods talking to a mirage of a woman that just dumped him half an hour ago.
Strong emotions. Was it the guy who, you know, was despaired so much that he literally was not colored anymore?
Yeah, the man literally lost his color because a woman basically tore his heart out and
I don't know whether she tore his heart out. She just didn't reciprocate, and he thought he was being led on. It's the age-old story of, oh, I'm your best friend, but really I want to get with you.
Yeah, well, and that still drives me crazy that they didn't have that discussion. Like, Did Brock fall into a comfortable spot where he's like, oh, I'm just going to ride this out for a while. I'm sure it'll come up eventually, and it never comes up.
Why was his job reliant on his relationship? That's messed up.
Well, because Brock has no...
No morals.
No morals. He'll go wherever the attention is. And so they're sitting there going, has anybody had any strong thoughts lately? And Ash is like, well, I've been thinking super hard about how I want to save Brock. And they're like, oh, shit, that means... And then Hetram just starts, like, rolling after them, I guess, in a way.
Just pounding into the ground.
Bang, 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 bang. And they were able to hide behind a couple of glowing mushrooms, so Hatram's not exactly very perceptive. And they literally do the big old comedy anime, whew, and they're like, oh, she's very different than you, talking to Hitana. And Hitana's like, yeah, no shit. And
but I'm going to turn into that.
Ash is like, can you still sense Brock's aura? And Hitana's like looking around, kind of wiggling its hat. And she jumps on Ash's head and points to the left. I guess as we're watching it, I get, you know. And we cut back to Hatterene. She's been toying with Brock this whole time. And then inexplicably, Ash is hungry again. So in the middle of all this excitement and, you know, being unsure of where Brock is, Ash has to still be Ash. I mean, talk about, you know, an old throwback, talk about getting the band back together. It's not a Pokemon episode if Ash isn't hungry at least twice.
No, not at all. And Ash is thinking about the food that his mom would make, and he's like, man, I want some food really bad. And just as he's thinking about this food, a nice little, I believe it's a Jotick. Yeah, a Jotick comes out of a tree right in front of Misty. And Misty is like, oh no, that's a bug. No. And then we go switch over to another scene, and Ash is explaining to Silent, yeah, Misty likes water-type Pokemon, but she can't handle bug-type Pokemon. And
meanwhile, Misty's over there walking like the girl from The Ring.
Yeah. That is a great animation. And it's at this point that Silent is like, he's like, well, what about... what is this Pokemon called? Give me 1 second. No, it's a fantasy. Oh, a Dupiter. That's what it is. So,
kind of explaining it looks like an alien. Yeah, okay.
So, he brings up, he's like, well, what about a Dupiter? He's like, that's both a water type and a bug type. And Misty's like, you know, that's a tough one. She doesn't answer the question. And it's at this point that we find out that Hatterene has walked away from Brock just for the time being and casts a nice little spell over our trio, where Ash thinks he hears his mother, and he's like, Mom! And they're like, what's going on? And we get a fantasy moment of Ash's mom going, I made you some freshly baked croquettes. So go ahead, eat on up. And Ash is like, all right. And then as he's grabbing the plate, his mom starts fading away. So Ash is just running towards his mother. And Misty's like, Ash, where are you going? And then she gets caught in a spell, and she gets to see a whole bunch of water type Pokemon. And she's like, oh my gosh, there's a bunch of water type Pokemon. Wait for me. And the Pokemon start walking away. Hatterene comes right behind Silent at this point, casts a spell on him. And And he sees a train station box lunches safety check is what pops up. And Silent's like, a perspective, or no, the people are like, prospective customers this way. And Silent's like, the subway masters, Mr. Nobiri and Mr. Kudari, who in English, real quick, everybody, is it says fantasy. Ingo and Emmett is who these guys are. So we haven't gotten that far in Black and White, so I'm sure we will find out who they are later on, but it looks like it's someone that Silen looks up to, and Silen's like, oh man, I'll have some. And then they're like, follow the schedule, all aboard. And a train just starts taking away with them on it. And Silent's like, well, no, wait for me. And Hatterene's like, ha, perfect. I got them out of the forest. And Carl, we are now back to Team Rocket. You want to go over the next Team Rocket scene?
Yeah, so they're basically, they have come into the forest in search of them with Meowth and Wobbuffet. They said they've lost track of them. They said the Brat Boys, which is weird because one of them's a girl. so Meowth is going on about how the reward for getting Pikachu will be he'll get cuddles from Giovanni. And they're also really hungry, apparently. They haven't eaten in a while. They're saying that once they achieve their goal, they will finally be rewarded with enough money so they can buy food. Then the mid-evolution one turns up and starts pounding them. And, of course, they get ran off, and that's pretty much it for Team Rocket. And I'm very surprised we didn't get them blasting off into the sky. Maybe that's an old thing. Ash is still going after his mum in the bubble clouds. It's very strange that they don't notice this bubble cloud area that they're in. A giant croquettes fall on Ash. It's almost like a monkey paw type situation where all their wishes start going bad as Misty's water Pokemon turn into bug Pokemon, and then the train leaves without Dent or whatever his American version is called, which I don't know. But then Pikachu realizes, Pikachu realizes to snap them out of it. He's got to shock them, which he does. He electrocutes them, which is a very harsh way of doing it, but that's Pikachu style. Electrocutes them back into the city, and it's weird how Ash has kind of replaced Pikachu in this one, where the first evolution, the baby version, is kind of on his head for the entire episode. Also, he's got like a Bitcoin sign on his hat, which I've never noticed before. I'm not sure what that is, what's the symbol for. He's got his hat now. So yeah, they snap back out of it and they go chasing off into the forest with the magic mushrooms again. And they come across Brock with the what's the name of the Pokemon?
Hatterene.
Hatterene, thank you. I can call it Saturine for some reason earlier. I believe that's an orange. But yeah, Hatterene they come across and they realise that they've got to try and snap Brock out of it. But they realise that what they've got to do instead is change the emotion so that it will calm them down and they can then make it relax and then it'll peace out, basically. I think this then leads to a fight. Let me just skip ahead here. Oh, no, Brock is now seeing Nurse Joy, because of course he is. Oh, my God.
took him 16 minutes to see Nurse Joy. You would have thought he would have been in the first couple.
Yeah, new record. But I mean, it's funny because there's like 20 of them. You think he would have got one of them to fall for him, but I suppose he is a full-on creep. They're trying to figure out what to do, and he becomes, oh my god, the green-haired dude becomes detective. Bloody
detective Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. Detective Silent becomes Sherlock Holmes again to try and figure it out. But they realise what's happening is they want he keeps trying to neg him to make these negative emotions so that she can draw off his power. So what they're deciding to do, because basically what she's doing is making him feel great joy and then snapping her away because it makes it that much worse and she can suck on this power. So Ash runs in and says, "No, get away from him." But What Brock sees instead of Ash is Kathy's boyfriend, and he basically decides that he needs to defend her, so he summons his Steelix, which I guess is his evolution of Onyx. I didn't see the in-between bit. I assume it's,
yes,
what you see is Onyx. He summons Steelix to defend her, and at the same time, Hatterene decides to start zapping Ash, which it's kind of funny because all these psychic cat attacks look extremely computer-generated compared to everything else in this show. Mm-hmm. So I guess Silas's whole thing is that he's a grass Pokemon guy because he summons a grass Pokemon, which makes sense because he's against a rock Pokemon. But mm-hmm. Ash, showing that he has learned absolutely nothing in 25 years, sends in Pikachu. Well done. You're literally the first gym fight you ever had that went badly, and you're still sending your electric type against a rock type. Have you learned nothing? This is basic Pokemon.
I know. It's not like he just won a full Pokemon tournament. I mean, you would think he would know better, but no. He's still the most spontaneous Pokemon trainer that you'll probably ever meet.
He has a grass type and a water type he could summon, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, he does. He has a bunch of them.
He definitely has a Lavani, and I believe he still has Oshawott at this point. I mean, at the very least, Oshawott shows up next episode. So he's still,
Oshawott does show up next episode, Doug. Good call.
I remember the preview here. So yes, he has the requisite Pokemon where he could give himself more of an advantage, but much like Steelix, he is very hard-headed, this Ash Ketchum.
And the last episode I was with you guys, they decided that because they were on a water level, they needed water Pokemon. And I was like, wait, why? Use Pikachu, you idiot. The anime does not follow the rules.
Nobody ever follows the rules unless they need to, so they don't get bombarded. But there's a lot of rules that is broken within the original
show, right? There's a whole episode in the original show where Ash decides that in order to beat Raichu, he needs a stronger Pikachu. And I'm like, no, that's not how that works. You need a rock Pokemon. That'll do it.
Yes.
Or, you know, any Pokemon that's not an electric one, but all right.
Well, I mean, and obviously with the benefit of hindsight, we could sit here and have these arguments all day.
Hindsight, it was programmed into the original game that the anime was based on.
Right. Because, I mean, obviously, you know, because the game had been out by the time the series, you know, started hitting.
Like, literally every time I've ever played a Pokemon game ever, I go, right, I'm going up against a water type. What do I need? Electric types. Straight away. Boom.
Right.
I know that. And I haven't played the games other than on and off in 20 years.
But see, because that wasn't the drive of the episode. It had to be Raichu versus Pikachu. It would have been, well, that, and I don't think Ash had Squirtle yet, but
yeah,
if he was an actual trainer rather than the antagonist.
Squirtle would have been even stupider.
Wow, this is also true. But, well, not necessarily, because that was a streetwise Squirtle.
Yes, but he is also a water type.
Ah. Yeah.
Well, that's true.
I think against Electric, only Rock will do, which I don't think he had at that point.
He did not.
But, you know, he was bit by some caves. He could have popped in and got himself a Geodude.
See, that would have required Ash to be an actual Pokemon trainer rather than the protagonist in an anime.
Yes. Or just say to Brock, hey Brock, can I borrow your Onyx, please?
Yeah, let me borrow that Onyx right quick. Okay, I'm not trying to,
he borrowed Gary's Krabby for a water battle against another water Pokemon. That makes sense. Anyway, back to this episode.
Yeah. Doug, do you wanna go over the next part in this episode?
So Brock tells Steelix to use Steel Edge on Pikachu and Pansage, and obviously that leads Silent and Ash to say to dodge it in unison, and it's not a very successful dodge, and in the process of dodging, Hitana falls off of Ash's head, and Hatterene comes in with another attack. Ash kind of dives in and takes the hit for Hitana in an attempt to kind of scoop it up. And Brock's vision is kind of going in and out. Like, it'll be like Ash 1 second, then it's the boyfriend. And it's Ash and it's the boyfriend. And Brock's trying to like rub his eyes and snap out of it. And Hatterene is still shooting off multiple attacks. And Ash is doing one-man parkour. And, you know, Brock is still, he's still flipping back and forth. And, you know, he's like, I'll protect Titana. And Brock finally snaps out of it. And he's like, Ash. And, right as another attack and it hits square on Hitana's cheek. And Brock's like, I can treat her. And he, you know, in the heat of all this, he takes out his equipment and he's got like, you know, he's got the spray and he's got a bandage and,
he's right there to help that, Hitana.
And Hatterene's sitting there like, are we not in a battle? And Ash is like, you know, cut the shit. And he's like, you know, Brock and Hitana are friends of, are important friends of mine, which is ridiculous because he's known Hitana for like 15 minutes. And Pan Sage and Pikachu kind of walk up like, yeah. And Hitana and, or not Hitana, Hatterene and Ash kind of have a stare off, and Brock's tending to Hitana like, you'll be all right. And he, you know, he's got bandages and he's like all finished. And Hatterene kind of sees that, you know, Brock was truly interested in getting Hitana back to health and kind of softens a little bit. And Silent has to open his mouth, you know, because there's 3 minutes left in the episode. He's a, Hatterene has lost its angry taste. Oh, shit.
you hate those food puns.
Because they're forced.
Yeah, they are.
They're not natural. And Brock walks up to Hatterene, and Hatterene and Hitana kind of have a moment, and Hatterene's all smiles. And Misty's like, it seems like she's saying thank you. And Ash is like, thank you for understanding. And, you know, we have a nice little moment. And then we get another glimpse of, oh, goodness gracious. Starts with an L.
Of Latias.
Latias. We get another glimpse of Latias in the clouds. And
there's going to be some bomb ass episode. It better be bomb with Latias following him in every single one of these episodes so far.
And, you know, we see everybody's walking or walking towards their next destination. It's the sunset and Brock's kind of out in front and he's like, you know, if today has taught me anything, it's taught me that I still have a lot to learn. And he's like, I think I'm going to continue traveling with you guys, and I'm going to give my heart some hard training. And I have no idea what that's supposed to mean, and I don't think I want to think about it.
Ew. Hey, they've all matured, and they've all grown up together.
And Ash is kind of sitting there. He's like, all right, we got another travel buddy. And Misty's like, oh, we're going to have some tasty meals. Ash is like, yeah, think about Silent and Brock cooking together. And this is
their whole thing about Brock being a good cook was they made them ham and cheese sandwiches. So I don't know how, you know, that qualifies him as a good cook.
Well, yes, but you see, now he's worked at a restaurant, so now he's had a little bit of somewhat of training.
Yeah. I mean, at the restaurant, they were served ham and cheese sandwiches. We're like, oh, this is so good. Who cooked this? Nobody. He sliced the bread.
Hey, but they were in nice diagonals.
All right.
And, you know, this is when Silent finally decides to speak up, and he's like, well, it's an honor to receive such a compliment, but I have to, he says, I'm afraid I have to excuse myself. And Ash is like, oh, so you're not going with us? And Silent's like, no, I have to attend an event where Mr. Nobieri and Mr.
It's the
Kudrai?
Yeah, it's Ingo and Emmett, who we saw the images of in the beginning of it.
Basically, the fellas in the train car.
Yes.
And he's like, you know, they're going to be having this event, and I need to be there. And he's like, I am going to try one of those box lunches, by God. And Ash is like, well, if that's the case, then we'll meet again someday. And I'm sitting there going, you don't have a lot of episodes to mess around. And, you know, Silen bids everybody a fond farewell, and the group does the same, and they go off in their opposite directions. And we get a nice wrap up from the narrator, and then we go back to Team Rocket, and they're in a fantasy, and they are just chowing down on this keeping plate of food. And I mean, they are just, you know,
they're too dumb to realize that it's an illusion.
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, unless if we didn't know for the fact that they're going to be back next week, it's like, oh, so they die in the forest of starvation then. That's right. Just a hell ending for them as they die of starvation, but thinking they're eating. That's a happy, funny ending.
and the last little image that we get of the actual episode before we go into credits and then the preview for next week, and the little a Team Rocket Safari segment is a sinister-looking image of Hatterene with that knowing smile.
Oh boy.
So
yeah, this episode basically exists just as a way to get the original three back together, because it's the anniversary season, it's the last season for Ash. It's what it's supposed to be, you know.
Right.
It's getting the original crew back together to have their last hurrah as a trio, which is what it was supposed to do. Hatterene is a creepy Pokemon portrayed here, extremely sort of poison ivy, sort of siren-y, which is weird because it's an animal. But again, I know there's corners of the internet that will love that, so more power to you. But
yikes. And I just did a little bit of digging real quick, because I thought it was pretty weird why Silen is not going to be coming back into any other episodes. So apparently the voice actors that for both Japan and here in the United States, in Japan, it was the voice actor is Mamoru Miyano. And then here in America, it's Jason Griffith. And I just did a little bit of digging on both of these guys. They paid a pretty penny. So after Pokemon, both of these voice actors have gone on to do some pretty, pretty big things. You have Jason Griffith, who, let me go right back over to his IMDb, but he's done voices in Call of Duty, Modern Warfare. He's done God of War. He's done anime called Romantic Killer, and amongst other things. And then you also have Miyano, who has done voices for a popular anime called Death Note. So he's done Death Note. He's done in Spectrum Demon Slayer, which is coming up this year. He's done I Will Be Your Bloom. And both of these.
So to bring it full circle to a conversation we were having off air about how Amy Jo Johnson isn't coming back for the anniversary and everybody else is, they become too expensive. So they were like, well, we can't get them, but we can get Misty and Brock back. They're not doing anything.
Exactly. So they're like, oh, we could pay them this amount of money, but if you don't want to come back, all right, we'll write you off. But thank you for coming back for this one episode.
The Misty, the Catherine Hillard of Pokemon.
Yes.
There you go.
So, and I'm sure we're going to have a whole lot more coming up a little bit later on in the series. Like I said, I've already watched the episode 4 that aired yesterday with Beartick. So that's going to be a fun episode to really go over and review as well. So, I mean, we're heading down this path, but and you might be new to this one, Carl, but we have a scale of each episode that we go through now, and we base it off of 5 stars total. And this goes to the whole realm of Pokemon or whatever you know. What would you give this episode on a scale from 1 to 5, in your opinion?
Well, I need context because every show is judged by... I haven't watched enough of the show as an adult to be able to kind of do it. But I'll need some context. What would you say would be a 5-star episode for this show? As an example,
honestly, and I might be spoiling, and I really hope they don't fuck it up when it comes to the English version. But I would say my 5-star episode was probably the ending championship episode. Of Ash finally winning the big one, because they divided that into 4 parts. So they started the battle, and it was just each episode was just a full battle. It was like no side talk, no.
That still hasn't been released in the dubbed version.
No, not yet. I believe that's going to be in the next batch, as long as they don't mess around too much. But I believe we'll be getting that probably. Mid-May is when that is probably going to come out on Netflix.
Okay, cool. So I would say this is a solid 3-star. It's an average episode with some creepy overtones, so it's pretty much exactly Pokemon as I remember it. Like I said, I've come into it watching an episode 23, 24 years after the last episode that I watched, in terms of not in real time, but in terms of the episodes, the time between the production, and it almost felt exactly the same. So it was a pretty average episode.
Okay. And Doug, you knowing a little bit more, I mean, obviously you haven't seen every single episode of Pokemon either, and you're kind of keeping the championship battle to your until they dub it over in English. So what would you give this episode out of 5 stars?
Yeah, and I mean, I guess since we've been talking about it, I guess I do kind of want to put it out there, and maybe this will incentivize them to get it out to us quicker. I want to take a break in our coverage, and I want to break those episodes down when they do finally get over to America, most likely in a Netflix drop. So that I am kind of keeping an eye on that along with you. I'm pretty much right in line with Carl, and I promise I'm not trying to kiss ass. This is a 3-star episode. Honestly, without the reintroduction of Brock, we might have been looking at 2 stars because nothing really happened. I mean, we didn't even really have any interaction between Team Rocket and, you know, the twerps. It was basically just Team Rocket just happened to be tagging along. The quote unquote battles, I think there was maybe like 2 or 3 attacks, you know, all told between everybody. You know, some of the hallucination states were funny. You know, the fact that we were able to get like such a fine distillation of Brock's character. I mean, that was basically brought out in Front Street. They're like, oh my gosh, it's Brock. And oh my gosh, Brock got his heart broken again, like within like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, and so, the way they set it up in the preview made it seem like he was actually dating this woman. So
yes,
I was thoroughly shocked when I watched that.
So yeah, I mean, this is a solid three, and wasn't even really that hard to think about it.
Okay, and I'm gonna be right in line with the both of you. I'm gonna say this is a solid three. We did get like the evolution stages of Hitena, and that was nice seeing all three evolutions in one episode. But at the same time, this was more filler and to get Brock back into the picture, and I feel like we're going to see a whole lot more in these following how many more episodes we got? Eight more episodes. So yeah, I feel like I will give this a solid three. So I'm right in line with the both of you. So, but all right. But yeah, hey, Carl, I want to go ahead and give you the floor. I know I didn't say too much at the beginning because I wanted to give you the very ending to kind of explain your Patreon and what you're kind of doing, and to see if any of our audience would like to come over and subscribe to your channel.
Yeah, my main thing that I do is my Scyther audio dramas. I do X-Men show, which is X-Men the audio drama, which is the most popular. I do a Power Rangers show, and I'm doing a Batman Trial of Bruce Wayne one. Basically, we do high production, fan produced, but with top quality voice actors and production quality, or full cast audio dramas that are basically my version of what X-Men episode I want, what X-Men series I would want it to be, or Power Rangers thing I would want it to be. Yeah, we've got a Patreon at patreon.com/scytheraudio if you would like to support us there. Otherwise, you can find us, just search for Power Rangers the audio drama or X-Men the audio drama. You'll find us out there on all of the platforms that you listen to podcasts, including YouTube.
All right. And I would like to vouch, I do like your Trial of Bruce Wayne. That I have so many I actually have questions of how you were able to get that done so properly the way that you did. I was listening to that when you first started dropping. I was like, man, these are really, really good. And so if you can, people, go ahead and take a listen to that. Very good audio, very good voice actors, and very good editing. He does a very good job. You do a good job at what you do. I will toss my hat out to you.
Thank you very much. I was literally just starting to editing the second episode today. So hopefully everybody enjoys that.
Yes. So, but
it never really stops, does it? It just kind of keeps going.
Well, yeah, I literally released an X-Men episode last week onto Batman, then straight onto Power Rangers. Like, I've always got something going.
So, okay. Well, thank you again for coming on to yet another episode of the Pokemon Adventures that we're going through. So, and hopefully this is not the last one. We will definitely be extending the invite again on your next season of Power yes. Rangers. We will invite you right back on to the show.
The CEO.
Yes. So, all right. But, Do either one of you have anything else to say before we sign off?
No, I'm good.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think so. Just another good episode on this last little nostalgia run.
All right, sounds good. Well, then, Carl, go ahead and say goodbye to our audience, please.
All right, take care. Thank you very much, everybody.
All right, and say goodbye, Doug.
Goodbye, Doug.
And this is Professor Chris G telling all of you we will be back next week with special guest Mikey. So we have 8 episodes left. We'll see you next week. Have a good night, everyone.